Hi everyone, welcome back to the DevOps Lab. I'm Damien. I'm joined today by Alison. Alison, what are we talking about?
Hi, we're talking about building a QA practice, having QAs embedded on teams, working with other practices, and growing your team by using apprentices.
Awesome. Very important topic. Don't miss it. Welcome back to the DevOps Lab. I'm Damien. I'm joined today by Alison. Alison, thanks for joining me.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. We are recording live from KCDC, Kansas City Dev Conference, which is an awesome event in Kansas City, Missouri. And on the agenda, I saw your session was about building a QA team from scratch.
Yes.
And this is something we kind of skip over QA, especially from a developer perspective, and we talk about dev delivery of stuff into production and then operations stuff. And we often leave QA off to the side as well. So it's good to actually talk about how we can build that into the process.
Sure.
So you've actually built a QA team or a QA practice in your organization from scratch, is that right?
Yeah, I was the seventh QA in the door. The eighth started the same day that I did. And we had a lot of teams that said, oh, we do test-driven development. We don't need QAs.
Right.
And inwardly, I was thinking, bring it on, sunshine. Yeah. And outwardly, I said, that's interesting. I'd love to see your code.
Yes, right. So that was a thing that everybody was aware that there's QA, but they were like, we don't really need this, or we'll do this at the end.
Yeah. So the way that we do QA is a bit different, because we start on day one. The developers are getting the machine set up. The QAs are thinking how they're going to be evil to the system. What kind of devices do I need? It's like, oh, I'm going to use emojis on this, and I need a text file with 8 copies of War and Peace in it so I can pop the HTTP server. I need to talk to my security guys. So we work with the developers and the user experience people and the product owners and the DevOps people all the way through. We will pair with anyone. We're a little promiscuous.
Right. Which is great, and this is something we were talking before, saying it's a little bit like the way that a lot of companies treat security, where they're like, we'll do all the work, and then at the end, we'll get the QA people to hopefully just sign off and say, yes, everything you've done is fine. Same with security, you know, sign off, yeah, it's all secure, that's great. But that doesn't lead to good outcomes in general, right?
It's a lot more painful to retrofit that stuff back in. It's a lot easier if you can start from the start and say, okay, so we need to take care of internationalization because we've got users in Canada and France and Australia, and we need to take care of accessibility because we've got blind users and people that don't have use of one arm, and we're just going to build that in right from the start.
Yeah.
So we're embedded into the process. We are eavesdropping on every conversation.
How do the teams manage that? Are some of them okay with that process and some of them are less okay with that process?
It's been a process of getting people's hearts and minds. You know, you get a long way if you just give them a bunch of donuts and say, let's work together today. Here's some donuts. Let's work together.
So bribery.
Bribery is fantastic. And everyone loves to talk about what they do. You sit down and say, what are you working on? It's like, why are we doing it like that? How can I use this?
And so this cross-pollination of ideas kind of means that from a developer perspective, I've been a developer for 20 years or so. I think about the writing code part. I think about what my code does, but I don't have the same perspectives as the QA team. And if I don't have those conversations early enough, I could code myself into a corner where it's difficult to do that stuff later on.
Yeah, we pair with developers on development tasks, and it's basically the equivalent of, hey, Damien, I love that thing you built. It's absolutely awesome. I'm going to pour a ton of gasoline on it and throw a match on and see what happens. You want to come with? It's going to be great.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you mentioned as well that a lot of the developers might be saying things like, we use test-driven development, we don't need QA.
Yeah. Right?
Do you do a lot of automation for this stuff as well?
We want to automate everything that makes sense.
Yep.
Hit all of the low-hanging fruit, get the 80% that's going to give you the most value, and if something's going to be unreasonably difficult to automate, just don't go there.
Right. So it's a risk-reward, or not a risk-reward, but an effort-reward.
Yeah, cost-benefit thing.
That's the word I was looking for. A cost-benefit thing, yeah. how does, if somebody is a QA watching the show,
yeah,
a tester that is used to working through a spreadsheet, clicking around and things like that, how would they get into automation? Like, how do they make that leap into automation?
I've actually done this with a bunch of people in my organization. I love teaching QAs how to code so that they can write automation. I have a couple of repos out on GitHub it's test-driven JavaScript or test-driven Elixir, and all of the tests are there, but none of the code to make them pass.
Oh, right. Okay.
And we basically boot camp people through a class, and we work them through, like, here's the original code, here's the set of tests, here's a skeleton of the code. Now we're going to work through and write the code to make those tests pass.
Right. Do testers find that process difficult, of learning to code in general? I mean, it's obviously a different skill, but...
Yeah. We look at it as the more you understand, the more you can find the weak points, and if you can find the weak points, you can jam a really good spanner in the works.
Yes, which is what you want, because somebody's going to do that anyway.
Yeah, rather it's us than someone outside that's malicious.
Exactly. We like to say that everybody has a test environment, but some people also have a separate one from production.
Yeah. Yeah.
Production's always the test. Again, with the testers and QAs who are used to clicking through and doing these tests quite manually,
yeah,
do you think it's important that they actually move to this code-driven, automated kind of testing?
I think it's really important, and it's kind of fun too. If you see the tests running, it's kind of like those creepy pianos that play themselves, and they see the keys going up and down like there's some ghost there.
Yeah, and it means it can be part of that pipeline once it's automated as well, right?
Yeah.
It's not held up by somebody having the opportunity to click the buttons.
Yeah, and it also lets you do stuff like soap tests, where you just run it and run it and run it continuously in a loop until something falls over.
Oh, really?
If you got a teeny tiny little memory link, then running it 1,000 times makes it a really easy to spot memory leak.
That's interesting. I haven't thought of that one before, but yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, you just kick it off on Thursday night and see what you got on Monday morning.
Wow. I have to try that with my code. So what else? So there's the automation side of it. There's the getting involved in conversations as early as possible.
Yep.
What other tips would you have for a team that's trying to build a QA framework or a QA, what was the word you used?
Practice.
Practice. A QA practice in an organization, yeah, that is really effective.
Find people that have fun with QA.
Right.
Okay. I mean, the stereotype is your QA is your miserable, sad person that's just finding defects, and they're pessimistic, and they're not having a good time. They're not having a good time, so they're going to make sure that no one else is having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
But with my team, we find a really huge bug, and we get a high five from our development team, and it's like, thank you, you just saved my ass there.
That's great, yeah. And so it's a culture thing as well as a technical ability thing.
Yeah, teams that have started up when I first joined the company, there were a lot of teams that didn't have QA, and I had to work to get good QAs into the company on teams, and now I have people say, I'm not starting up this team unless I get that QA. I want to work with her again, because
wow,
she was awesome.
Okay, do you think this is something that can be taught, or a culture that can be... that can rub off on other people who are not naturally like that?
I totally think it can, because one thing that we've used to build our practice is we've brought in apprentices.
Brought in what? Apprentices. Oh, yes. You were mentioning this earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So an apprentice is someone that's never done QA before. We bring them in and we pair them at the hip with a senior QA.
Mm-hmm.
They do all the same work. They go to the same meetings. The apprentice has tasks to do and stuff to learn. And 3 months on, we get a pretty good junior QA that has all of our pluses and none of our minuses.
Right. That's very cool. One of the things that we talk about as well with DevOps is this idea of not being content when the stuff's in production and it's running.
Yeah.
But actually working out what's happening in production, whether it's delivering value and whether people are using it the way that you expect them to use it.
Yeah.
Do you think that's part of the role for the QA team as well?
Yes. We love getting the analytics back. We've had apps that were in production where the client wanted us to do a feature. We were using, I think it was Firebase,
mm-hmm,
and none of the users were actually using this feature that they wanted us to upgrade. So we took it to the client and said, do you really want to do this? No one's using this. And they said, oh, well, crap.
We didn't know. Yeah.
We thought they loved that. No, they don't like that. It's like, fine, drop it, work on something else.
And that's good, and that's a perspective that the developers may not have, or the rest of the product team may not have. They might not even think to.
Yeah. One thing that we've picked up from working closely with the user experience team mm-hmm. is we want to have software that's not only functional and useful, but software that's frictionless to use, and then it delights the user.
Right. Okay.
So it's not enough to just fill their need. If it does what they want, but using it is like sticking your face in a bowl of pine needles, then you're not going to want to play with it.
Yes. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So this session that you're giving at KCDC is all about some of these practices and how to build those practices.
Yep.
You mentioned as well that the slides are on SlideShare.
Yes, slides are on SlideShare, and I'll give you the URL.
Yeah, definitely. We'll put that link in the show notes as well, so you can have a look at it later. Awesome.
Cool.
Thank you for spending the time with me, and thanks for chatting at KCDC as well.
You're welcome. It's great to meet you.
Awesome. You too. Thanks everybody, and join us next time for another DevOps Live.